Gracious and holy God, we come to you tonight seeking your comfort, your peace. Lord, we ask that you might guide us and direct us. Reveal your spirit to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The Holy One. I'm going to do something a little different tonight, and I'll be reading several scriptures, but it all has the same message. The first one is Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. And Isaiah 41, 10 and 13, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Isaiah 46, 4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Matthew 28, 20. Teaching them everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Philippians 4, 13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Psalm 16, 8. I have set aside the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Psalm 23, 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 46, 1 to 2. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Psalm 73, 23, 24. Yet I am always with you. You can hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Psalm 121, verses 2 through 3. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I will not let your foot slip. And Psalm 143, verse 8. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." Isaiah 41, 10 and 13. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with the righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" Isaiah 46, 4. "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and will rescue you." Matthew 28, 20. "Teaching them everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Philippians 4, 13. "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Psalm 16, 8. "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken." Psalm 23, 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Psalm 46, 1 through 2. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." Psalm 73, 23 through 24. "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward, you will take me into glory." Psalm 121, 2 through 3. "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip." Psalm 143, 8. "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift my soul." Hebrews 13:5-6. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. Isaiah 41:10-13. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Matthew 28:20, teaching them everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Psalms 16:8, I have set aside the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 46:1-2, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Psalm 73:23-24, yet I am always with you. You will hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Psalm 121:2-3, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. Psalm 143:8, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." Isaiah 41, 10 and 13. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" Isaiah 46, 4. "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." Matthew 28:20, "Teaching them everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Philippians 4:13, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Psalm 16:8, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken." Psalm 23:4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Psalm 46:1-2, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." Psalm 73:23-24, "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory." Psalm 121:2-3, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip." And finally, Psalm 143:8, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift my soul." I'm Sharon Moss, and I am going to share a little bit of my journey with the Lord. The growth of our journey of faith is a journey, and each journey is individual and unique as each of us. I am here to share some milestones in my faith journey as the Lord walked beside me. Are there times in your life when you have felt the Lord walking beside you, carrying you if needed, or comforting you by holding your hand? Very special moments in time. Throughout my early years, my faith journey was somewhat non-traditional. As an only child, my parents and I rarely attended church on a regular basis. And yet, I cannot remember a time when I didn't believe in God or live by Christian values. I cannot remember a time when I didn't pray at bedtime or early in the morning. I cannot remember a time when I couldn't recite the Lord's Prayer or the 23rd Psalm. My Sundays were filled with art lessons or nature walks, marveling at all the colors God created, or many, many trips to museums. I would often attend Mass with my cousin Andy, and my first Catholic Holy Communion experience was quite an ordeal. She was in second grade, and all the second graders in her school sat together in church on Sunday. I sat beside her, and the nun at the end of the row said, "Okay, up and at 'em, up to Holy Communion." And I tried to tell her, and this is the old nun in the dark black habits with the white thing, and they were so impressive but imposing to a kid. And she said, "Young lady, march up there and take communion." So I did. Unbeknownst to me, my uncle sitting in the balcony was waving his arms, trying to get attention, to no avail. So that was my first experience with Holy Communion. Now, if you know about the Catholic Church, I committed a major sin that day, but I'm sure that God forgave me, and you can't argue with a nun, right? As I said, throughout my years, I spent a lot of time with my cousin. Her favorite thing was to go to religious movies. Can any of you remember the Song of Bernadette or the Ten Commandments? When Andy received a Bible, I received a Bible. When Andy received a cross for her bedroom wall, so did I. If you recall, do you recall elementary school, junior high, high school prayers? Any of you remember those? Mine consisted of the Lord's Prayer. I was really good kicking it off there, thanking the Lord for a beautiful day and blessing my family, friends, and my dog, Spooky, and adding a please list after all of the things. Please let me make cheerleading. Please let Bob like me. My Bob is now my husband, I should add. Please help me do well on my test. Please don't let me fall down and make a fool of myself in school. Probably not important requests in the whole scheme of life, but very important to me at the time. All through my early years, the Lord walked quietly beside me. My first traumatic loss occurred when my grandfather died. I was 14 years old. My dad, a high school art teacher, used scripture to comfort me. He used John 12:2-4. My father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I go. He went on to explain that my grandfather, who was a home designer and builder, had gone to build a home for us in heaven. And my dad's words brought me great comfort. Again, the Lord walked beside me. The accident, if you will, for a moment, just close your eyes and picture a lovely spring evening with a clear sky and a gentle breeze. You can open your eyes now. My mom and dad and I were driving to a favorite restaurant to celebrate my 17th birthday. We were all three in the front row at that time because there were no seatbelt laws. There were no seatbelts, period. My dad was attempting to prepare me for driving at night. There were very bright lights coming toward us on a back country road that night, and I looked away. I remember my dad putting his arm out like this, and then I don't remember anymore. My eyes were closed. I couldn't open them. Something was very wrong. I hear tires spinning. I hear my mom yelling for someone to please stop and help us. I feel the gentle breeze on my face and try to remember my birthday celebration, and I can't. I was finally able to open my eyes. My mother came over to me and said, "Do not move even a tiny bit. You've been very injured. We've been in a very bad accident. Your dad isn't still in the car, and you are lying on the road." She would be running back and forth to check on each of us until help arrived. My eyes closed again, and the Lord walked beside me, tightly holding my hand. The next time I opened my eyes, I was on a table in the operating room. My whole life had changed. My dad was killed in the accident, and later I found out that I was listed in critical condition for a few days. And the Lord walked beside me, never letting go of my hand. Through the days of mourning and healing, working to forgive a drunken Mack truck driver, a heart-wrenching trial, and building a new life with just mom and me and the Lord. When I learned of Dad's death, I remembered the scripture he had quoted when my grandfather died. And I thought, well, my grandfather must have completed the house, and my dad has now been called to paint it. The years passed. I married and have a beautiful daughter, Christine. What a blessing and what a joy. 3 years later, I delivered a full-term, stillborn daughter, Heather. I was devastated, and once again, the Lord walked beside me and gently took Heather in his arms to care for her. I turned to him for comfort through my tears and my loss. 2 years later, I was blessed with a miracle. My son, Damien, was born. This time, the Lord walked beside me, and we celebrated the birth of my baby boy. Throughout the years, I was confident the Lord walked beside us, all of us. I shared my joys and sorrows, the hills and valleys with the Lord, communicating with him every day, and taught my children to communicate and walk with him. A nightmare begins. In June of 1992, my 16-year-old son, Damien, and two friends arrived home, and the friends were supporting him, literally carrying him into the house. He was having a great difficulty breathing and staying awake. I could literally hear him breathing from anywhere in the house. I scheduled an immediate doctor's appointment with the doctor, who checked his chest and did vials and vials of blood work. It looked like some form of mononucleosis, I was informed. Did you know there are hundreds of various strains of mononucleosis? I didn't until that day. And we went home to wait for the results. All I did was pray and pray. I didn't know what to do. I'm an action person. Give me something to do and I can do it. But I could feel the Lord walking with me by my side. At 5:30 that evening, the doctor called. He informed me that he didn't like what he saw in Damien's blood work and that I was to take him immediately to the Cleveland Clinic's infectious disease department downtown. The hospital staff whisked him away from me off to one of the emergency examining rooms where there was more testing done. Blood work, x-rays, IV administered, EKGs, and lots of questions. A nightmare in earnest begins. I am looking at an x-ray of my son's chest and listening to the doctor describe a huge lump filling his whole chest. And I hear the dreaded words, lymphoma and malignant. My heart nearly stops. The fear of these words are causing my breathing to go shallow. And then I realize that the Lord is not only walking beside me at this point, but he is holding me up. He is gently reminding me that he is always with us and that we are never alone. This becomes my lifeline. Damien is admitted to the Children's Division of Oncology that night at Cleveland Clinic. He is only 16. The Lord sends a resident angel, a young man, 28 years old. For those of you that don't know, every resident has to do a pediatric time or stint. And this was not his preferred age preference. So he volunteers to take Damien under his wing during his stay and reluctantly forces me to go home to get some sleep, which I did not do that night, nor the next, nor the next, nor the next. As I walked to the elevator, I could hear my son snoring. When I walked off the other elevator early the next morning, I could still hear him snoring. For Damien, there was lots more testing, x-rays, blood work, and a dreaded biopsy. As the surgeon came frowning up to speak with us, I frantically reached out to hold the Lord's hand. The biopsy results showed that my son had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, cell type T, stage 4. The doctor told us he had a 10% chance of survival. There were angels all around us as the days passed by. One took the form of a cleaning lady who looked in, took one look at Damien's 6'3" frame, hanging off, his feet were hanging off the end of the bed, and went to the phone and ordered a Cavaliers be brought up to his room stat. And what a marvelous difference that bed made to his comfort. We were at last both in his room. The doctors had left, the nurses had left us alone, and it was quiet. I began to pray with all my being. I told God that I believed with all my heart that he could do anything. So, take the cancer, please, out of my son's chest and put it in mine. Nothing happened that day, or the next, or the next. I became really, really angry and literally yelled at God, fist shaking, pointing at all. I don't know if any of you had done that, but it's a little overwhelming. And I said, okay, I don't understand. You are choosing not to take the cancer from my son and put it in me. So you better get down here right now and walk with us every minute, every step. Carry us if need be, every day, every minute, every moment. It began my life nightmare journey. And please tell me what I need to do. How can I help my son? Because I don't know. Well, the Lord walked beside me when Damien had surgery for a Medport implant. After this piece of surgery, his heart required a crash cart to restart. This time, I was the one to reach out frantically in faith to squeeze the Lord's hand. In answer to my question, Lord, what can I do to help my son? The Lord answered all the time. I had to keep a notepad by my bed, in my car, in my kitchen, wherever I went, in my purse. I didn't want to miss one idea or one suggestion. And this communication became my lifeline. There were a lot of ideas that I captured. I researched side effects of the chemo drugs and what foods, herbs, and supplements could limit the negative effects. Did you know the Cleveland Clinic has a phenomenal medical library I got to use. Now, these are books I normally wouldn't pick up to read, but boy, I was taking notes feverishly to try to help. Also, never, ever go to bed without laughing, even if it means surfing the TV. Proverbs 17:2 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, and I believed it. In the book Jesus Calling on June 17th, which was the date not only of my son's diagnosis and first chemo treatment, but it was his final chemo treatment as well. So we count that as the remission start. In Jesus Calling, it says, laughter lightens your load and lifts your heart into heavenly places, and it is so true, and it does. I found out a small amount of food on a party plate or a funny plate or a funny napkin on toothpicks would get him to eat when nothing else would. I treated him as normally as possible. That's what he wanted to be, a normal high school kid. And he couldn't be that. There was chemo and there was all this other stuff going on in his life, and he could only go to school on the days we didn't have chemo. Treat a normal boy as normal as possible. Well, he looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy, bald, bloated. He didn't look very normal, and he took to wearing hats. Now, Strongsville High School passed a hat law that summer where you could not wear hats to school any longer. So I contacted the vice principal, which was the proper protocol, and he said, absolutely not, I'm making no exceptions. I said, well, does anyone else in your school district have cancer? No. And I said, well, can't you make one exception for one kid that looks like a bald Pillsbury Doughboy? No was the answer. So I told my son this. He called some of his friends. And one Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, the superintendent of Strongsville Schools at that time came to my door and wanted to speak to my son. So I went upstairs and woke my son up, and he said, young man, I don't want every boy in high school wearing hats. The first day of school, that was still to come. So he said, we're going to have a meeting. I will run it. The principal will be here, the vice principal, the counselor, and so on and so forth, and Damien and I. Well, needless to say, we won big time. And he was allowed to wear his hat to school. Unfortunately, the vice president, till the day my son graduated, stared at him, glared him down, even when he got hair and took the hat off. It was just amazing to me, but that's who he was. But we had the school behind us, and he wore his hat. I found out I had to make every day the best it could be, because we didn't know how many more we'd have. We didn't know if tomorrow would come. So we took it one day at a time, and we made it literally the best we could do. And we spent time praying together and communicating to God and sharing with the Lord our thoughts and our fears. And the Lord became such a part of our life that he remained so, because he was there. And a lot of people weren't. Damien's prayers changed also. Remember back to our high school prayers. Instead of, please let me make the basketball team, it was, please let the nurse get the med port on the first stick. Please let the spinal tap work this time. Please don't let me get sick in school. And please let my friends still want to hang with me. It broke my heart. My son is my hero. My heart ached for Damien as he missed a normal high school life. He missed the prom. He missed graduating with his class as he fell a year behind due to his chemo protocol. He worked incredibly hard to meet his high school degree qualifications and so much more. And he never, ever complained, not even to the Lord. And the Lord walked beside us as I had directed him to. Every step of the way, through 2 years of chemo treatments and surgeries and 2 years of follow-up checkups and 5 to 7 year survival status, he was right there the whole way. The 20th anniversary of his remission date, June 17th, he wanted to take a cruise to Alaska, so we did. I mean, why not? That was his dream. And June 17th this year, 2019, Damien will celebrate his 25th year of remission. Amen, and we are so blessed. I have the spiritual image that I treasure as Damien successfully won his battle with cancer. Jesus, Damien, and I are walking along a beach. Jesus is walking between us. One of his hands is holding mine, and the other hand is holding Damien's. And we are celebrating our miracle. Damien lives. In closing, I pray that each of you will experience and treasure every step in your unique faith journey. And may you be spiritually blessed and always know that the Lord walks beside you always and forever.
We have a God who is with us, God who walks beside us each and every step of the way. And we have a God who in Jesus came and lived among us, who experienced everything we experience, who knows what it's like to feel pain and suffering and joy and hope. And Jesus, on that last night, before he knew he'd be arrested and tried and crucified, he gathered with his disciples, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy God, pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, in one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. In our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup, and then receive both elements at the same time. I'll invite Sharon Ford to come help serve, and then invite you all to come as you feel ready.